The source of compassion, love, kindness, and compassion are the very foundation of Buddhism. From a general perspective, these virtues correspond to similar values held in many other religious traditions and spiritual practices. However, in Buddhism, genuine love and compassion arise from a penetrative insight into the true nature of our own existence. That's the reason why when we can understand ourselves, we can understand others and are thereby more firmly grounded in a practitioner's experience. So that is the big difference. Eh? We can understand this from two perspectives. First, from the perspective of interdependence, we see that no phenomenon in the world, whether material or mental, exists independently of other phenomena. All beings and things are intimately related to one another through cause and condition or cause and effect. All of the activity engaged in by a seemingly independent entity are actually connected to and affected by the activities of other entities in an intricate, infinite network. Everything that exists relies on innumerable, apparently external factors for their existence. Separation from this vast system of connection among all things would make existence impossible. This is the profound reality of the nature of this world we live in. That's why nature's law is also the reality of our own individual lives as we live them. We are all connected to each other and to all living beings, both sentient and sentient and insentient. On a human scale, we can see the truth of interdependence in the fact that no person can live entirely apart from society. We depend on the assistance of other human beings for everything we have, from the basic necessity of life such as food, clothing, and shelter, up to the various forms of knowledge and skill that we acquire, and to the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment we derive from our job, our career. If we are fortunate to live in a relatively stable society, we should know that much of the order and stability in our daily life depends on the structure of our society and on the work of other people in all sorts of public institutions. Similarly, global interrelationship and the mutual influence between different nations and cultures are often demonstrated in fields like economics, political science, and cultural studies. So the way how Master Sun Yan look at all this is quite good. But on a bigger picture, it is of course nature's law, which he didn't mention. On a larger scale, countless other forms of life, both sentient and insentient, have either direct or indirect influence on the well-being, on our well-being. Also, from the viewpoint of the Buddhist belief in innumerable past life and future birth, each of us must have in countless previous lives once lived in very close, direct connection to every other sentient beings. All these other beings could have been our parents, our mother, our father, our sisters, and our brother. Each one, at one point or another, has been the cause of our happiness. With this sort of outlook, how can we not have sympathy and concern for all sentient beings? We can only feel a deep sense of responsibility and gratitude towards them. Such gratitude in turn engenders genuine care and love that gives beyond an individual's love for his and her family, race or nation. This sort of love extends to all living beings everywhere, springing from the very knowledge that we are truly all one big family. A better way to explain this is the Buddha's explanation, he said. Do you know how many repeated birth and death you have undergone since the beginning? Let's first start our ignorance. We have shed more tears than the water in the four oceans. Do you know how long that is? Every life, how much tears can you shed? Very likely it's only 1 gallon or less. And in the four oceans, do you know how many gallons of seawater there are? Let me tell you, it's amazing. That's the reason why we could have been related in some way. But through karma and countless birth, rebirth, we might have forgotten. That's why when they are born as our children, you think, wow, my children, actually it's your karmic debtor that came back to ask for your karmic debt. That's why in Mahayana, they said it is yan qing zai zhu. But you still think they are your children. And you may say, what can I do? He is my son, he is my daughter. Then his son and his children will say, he has to give in because he is my papa. Last time you swindle them, make them miserable, but you didn't know. Now they swindle you back, but because of karma, you will willingly give it back to them, thinking that they are your children. Yet you will become so miserable because of what they did to you, and you cannot do anything about it because you say, they are my children. That's why they have to be your children, so that you will pay them back willingly. So this is what the law of karma is all about. So when you understand all this, you better make sure you have this right view to follow the advice of the Buddha and to take care of karma. You are not trapped in the physical form. You cannot experience the suffering. Through delusion, you reap what you sow. In the past, when you cause suffering and misery to others, you don't know because you are heedless. So through nature's law of karma, the friction will come about. And when you understand nature's law, you will never violate this law of karma. There is never worthwhile to do so. I used to tell Kayamita, it's never worthwhile to violate any of this karmic law, especially the 5 basic precepts. You will have to hold on to them very seriously because it's never worthwhile to violate them. It will show it to you in your cultivation. The moment you try something funny, it hits back immediately. Karma is so powerful. Cultivator of the way will determine to have this understanding life after life when they come. And they will connect very fast. They will never violate any of this moral causation or law of karma because they understand it's never worthwhile to do so. Secondly, from the perspective of equality of conditions, all of these infinitely varied sorts of interrelations and connection among sentient beings and insentient beings give rise to a multitude of individual traits and distinctions. However, since these seemingly unique and distinct entities are all contingent upon one another, not one of them can be said to exist autonomously and permanently in and of itself. This is the nature of emptiness. As we penetrate the depth of this conditionality through contemplation and the cultivation of genuine compassion, we can understand personally and directly that all phenomena are empty of any inherent separate nature of their own because they are dependent originating. We are living in an existential world of causal phenomena. This essence or empty nature of existence of all things reveals their likeness, their profound similarity with the realization of the non-dual equal nature of existence, which is the experience of wisdom and unbound desire to help and benefit all beings indiscriminately, were then well up in our heart. So this coming Friday, 22nd, April 2016, it was at that time when the talk was given. I will be giving a Dhamma talk in Klang with the title, The Three Universal Characteristics of Nature. This talk will benefit you a lot more because I will explain all this more clearly in the Dhamma talk. All this come about through the very penetrative insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. As real as can be, is only within the moment, and how stable is the present moment. Split second is dead and gone, and why do you still hold on to it? Ultimately, it's just a thought, nothing else. And what is a thought? It arises and passes away. Arises and passes away. To delusion, living being cling. That's why it has power to afflict them and make them so miserable. That's why human beings go into depression, commit suicide over what? Over the things they cannot let go of or they cannot come to terms with. When you understand this, it can be very beautiful. But when you don't understand, it can torment you, afflict you, and make you miserable. So the Dhamma is very, very important. Without Dhamma, life is pretty tough and difficult. With Dhamma, it's beautiful and wonderful. In the Maya tradition, all sentient beings are identical in nature to Buddha. All sentient beings have the potential to realize the full enlightenment and manifest Buddhahood. A person walking the path to full Buddhahood must cultivate deep compassion for all living beings or sentient beings, as if they were of one body with himself or herself. This is not wishful thinking, but rather a sincere motivation to inspire our action and compel us to live humanly in the world. When other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, it is as if we ourselves are suffering too. But the lack of wisdom to help either ourselves or others will motivate them to perfect themselves further. We are walking the Bodhisattva way. This genuine concern and selfless love do not come from anyone or anything external, but rather from our own insight into the nature of our own existence. Such insight is the ethical impulse of an enlightened being. It is both the motivation and the source of inner strength of a Bodhisattva. So this is what Master Shen Yan's point of view, based on his understanding. Ultimately, you can be different when you have the actual understanding, because there is no mark of a self-cultivating or of living beings. They are within the conditioned world, and only the form and mind are subject to all this. But he didn't explain all this, and that's the reason why he just use his own understanding to express it. That's why he said, when other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, he used this word, it is as if we ourselves are suffering too. You won't have that delusion when you vow to liberate all living beings. You do not purposely, with desire and craving, vow to help and liberate. No. When there is no condition, nothing will be done or nothing can arise. But when there are conditions, that love that compassion, that understanding will manifest, will extend to all irrespective of who they are. Do you understand? Because you know everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, he no you, he no me. Hence, there is no reality. You do not favor anything because relationship is for the form and mind within the existential world. The law of karma recognizes relationship, but not ultimate truth or ultimate understanding. That's why the cultivation is very different. But what he has written is a very good guide.